Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. David K. Johnston knows the United States tax system as well as anyone, and probably better than any other journalist. I know this personally, because 20 years ago, I used to interview him for the first public television show I started, a business show. That was even before he won the Pulitzer Prize for Beat Reporting in 2001 for his coverage of inequities and loopholes in the tax code, and went on twice more to be a Pulitzer finalist. David K. Johnston has written a half-dozen books, starting with Temples of Chance in 1992, about the casino industry and how it is financed. So he's been covering Donald Trump more than a quarter century. His latest book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. David K. Johnston will be at the Pratt Library tonight to discuss it, and now he's on the phone with us. Welcome to On the Record, David.
Glad to be here, Sheila.
Your book covers a lot of territory, but I want to focus on taxes, especially the new federal tax law that became law while you were writing this book. There's been a lot of discussion about how much the new law will benefit President Trump and his family. Forbes magazine estimated $11 million a year savings from just one rule change. You've covered the Trump businesses for a long time. What impact do you think the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will have on his finances?
Well, with the understanding that we don't have hardly any verifiable information about Donald's taxes except for the 2005 tax return that I got the summary sheets for and the summary sheets for his 1995 New York State tax returns, Trump should benefit in several ways. First of all, much of the income he has that would be taxed at the formerly top rate of nearly 40% will now be taxed perhaps at 21%. Secondly, he will continue to enjoy the lavish benefits that Congress bestows on the real estate industry, which you should really think of as a massive subsidy for people in real estate, or as a top real estate tax lawyer once said to me, if you're big in real estate and you're paying income taxes, you should sue your lawyer for malpractice because you shouldn't be paying any taxes. And then there's the estate tax. Donald claimed during the campaign in a matter of weeks that he was worth $8.7 billion, $10 billion, more than $10 billion, $11 billion. Well, if it were true that he was worth $10 billion, he stands to save $4 billion in estate taxes when his time runs out. However, when he filed his financial disclosure statement as president, Sheila, he only showed $1.4 billion, and if you double all the items that are $50 million and above, you don't get to $2 billion. And I don't think Donald's worth $1 billion. There's no verifiable evidence of anything. But no matter how it slices, he saves a lot of money under this system where ordinary middle-class Americans will get crumbs.
You mentioned the real estate industry. There has been a fair amount of coverage of how the new law caps how much you can deduct in state and local taxes, including real estate taxes. And that's a big issue for some families with nice homes. There's been much less attention in the press to the personal exemption, which disappears in this new law. And most of us who aren't accountants, the personal exemption and the standard deduction kind of sound like the same thing. Tell us the difference and what impact you think this law is going to have in getting rid of the personal exemption.
Well, under the law in effect until last year, there was a set amount of money that you did not have to pay taxes on called the standard deduction. And then you got a personal exemption for yourself and if you were married, your spouse, and if you had children, your spouse, or any other dependents. Under the new law, you only have a standard deduction. Now, for families with children, the new law is going to be beneficial, because they'll get a $2,000 per child tax credit for children who are 17 and younger. But if you're empty nesters, young singles, a married couple without children, this is not nearly so good a deal, because losing that personal exemption is going to bite into you significantly. Secondly, you can only deduct, as a married couple, $10,000 of state and local tax. A single person, by the way, can deduct $10,000 as well. But if you're a professional in real estate like Donald Trump, you can deduct unlimited state and local taxes against your real estate on your federal return because they're business expenses. So this is very much a law that is tilted away from ordinary working folks, and it will provide some tax cuts for 5 out of 6 middle-class Americans, but the tax cuts they're getting are just peanuts. The people at the top, people who make $2 million a year and up, which is roughly 1 in 1,000 households, they're going to make out like bandits. And if you're in the $100 million and up club, that's about 13,000 households. Oh, this is a tremendous deal for you.
That's journalist and author David K. Johnston here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. He'll be at the Pratt Library tonight to discuss his just-published book, It's Even Worse Than You Think. I'm asking him about changes in federal tax law. New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's going to challenge the new law in court as unconstitutional. Other states, like California, are trying to redefine real estate taxes as charitable contributions so that they'll still be deductible on federal tax returns. Do you think any of these state workarounds are going to work?
No, I don't. I mean, there's some eminent law professors who've argued that it would work based on some past IRS court decisions. But the problem is Congress, with one line of new law, could undo any scheme that says you can treat your state and local taxes as charitable deductions. So that's not going to work. There is another workaround proposed dealing with a payroll tax. It might work, but it adds more complexity to the system, and I don't think that's the answer. And I don't think Cuomo is right about what he said, by the way. Congress, as the lawyers say, through its grace, can design virtually any tax system that they want. In fact, my next book, after the one that comes out momentarily, is a completely new federal tax system that I have spent years designing. So this is something I put a lot of thought into. And, we're just going to have to live with this law until Congress changes it.
You mentioned paychecks or payroll. One of the new loopholes in the law for wealthy earners is something called pass-through. As I understand it, if I set myself up as a corporation instead of an employee of WIPR, I could pay 20% less federal tax on what WIPR pays me. Do I have that right? And how is that supposed to contribute to economic growth?
Well, the theory here, and I will be a beneficiary of this because of my book writing business.
Congratulations.
Is that entrepreneurs will put more effort into their businesses and make more money if we only tax them on 80 cents out of each dollar that they earn from their business. Interestingly, Congress excluded lawyers, accountants, and doctors above certain income levels from this deal. I guess we don't want more productivity and hard work by lawyers, doctors, and accountants. But this is just pure politics. This is not sound economic reasoning. I think you are going to see a number of people who are employees of companies they control go from taking much or all of their income as salary to getting a minimal salary. They won't get away with taking a dollar a year. They've got to receive a salary, but it will push down their salary, and then they'll take more of the money as dividends. And you're also going to see some people doing what you suggested you'd like to do, incorporating yourself and working on contract so that you can take advantage of the lower tax rate. That's not going to be as simple as it sounds because you've got to establish that the salary you're getting is reasonable.
And let me clarify, I have no intention of doing this.
Yes, I was
just using myself as an example. So this new federal tax law cuts tax rates. Its advocates predict it will unleash economic growth. What is your view?
Well, in 2000, when George W. Bush ran for office with a tax plan he wouldn't show us, I raised this same question. And I called the Bush campaign in the fall of 2000 because they said that everybody in America would be better off and we would all prosper under the tax plan. And I said, well, you know, looks like we're going into a recession, what you guys are calling the Al Gore recession. You think maybe you want to hedge your bets a little bit? It might be a year or two. Absolutely not. What's the name of your editor? And when I finally got them to answer the question, they said, when's your story running? And I said, well, in about 10 years. So I collected all the data and analyzed it for the 12 years that the George W. Bush tax cuts were in full effect, and they had the opposite effect. The total income Americans earned fell by $6.3 trillion compared to if we had stayed at the level of 2000. And I didn't pick the year 2000. George Bush did. Fell by $6.3 trillion. How much is that? That's a meaningless number, right, Sheila? $6.3 trillion mean anything to you?
No.
Well, let me give it some meaning. We could have paid all the income taxes on it at the average rate all Americans paid. We could assume it was all labor income, and so Social Security and Medicare taxes were paid on it. And with the money left over after taxes, we could have paid off every car loan, every credit card debt, every student loan in America, and every family would have had over $20,000 cash in the bank. That's what a disaster the 2001 tax cuts are. I think there's a good chance we'll have a similar effect with this tax law. Jobs stopped growing after it was passed. The population grew at five times the rate of jobs. And all of this comes from analysis I do every year of the all the official data, and there's no reason to think that lower tax rates are going to lead to more jobs and investment. They're just going to lead to people who own eight mansions having the money to buy a ninth.
But wait, I mean, we read that utilities already are cutting gas and electric rates because of the tax cuts that they're going to get. Walmart is boosting wages of its workers. I mean,
well,
isn't...
Those are two of the most clever PR ploys I've seen. First of all, there is not a single pending case before a state regulatory board in America to lower their rates because of the new tax law. Not one. And utilities get to collect not just the corporate tax, what's called the grossed-up tax. So when it was 35% tax, they got 54% on top of their profits to pay the profits tax, the corporate income tax. But there's not one case pending to do this anywhere in the country, and I don't expect that you're going to see significant adjustments in rates because of this. As for places like Walmart, a lot of companies gave out bonuses at the end of 2017, for which, by the way, they got a 35% tax deduction rather than the 21% they would have gotten the next year. That is, the government picked up 14 cents on the dollar, and many of these companies, as soon as they gave out the pay raises, announced that they were firing people left and right. Walmart, for example, is closing in a whole bunch of Sam's Clubs all around the country. Other companies announced, you know, they were firing hundreds of workers or thousands of workers who were as soon as the new year began.
David K. Johnston, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
David K. Johnston's just published book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. He'll speak about it at the Enoch Pratt Free Library Central Branch on Cathedral Street at 6:30 tonight in the Pratt's Writers Live series. We've got links at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been with us this morning. Tune in tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.